Good morning.
Good morning.
It's very good to be here, and thank you for the warm welcome. We're so happy to be back visiting. This morning, we are going to look at giants. Just an overview before we get started. We're going to go through a little bit of a history lesson on giants in the Old Testament, and so hopefully before you fall asleep on that. We are going to get to the application of that to our lives, and from that to our Lord Jesus Christ and the breaking of bread. So we're going to consider what the Bible has to say about lives, or about giants. And we're not really considering what they were, or what they actually, the veracity of what they, their existence, but actually what the spiritual lessons for us are from them. And if, think in your mind, what is the first mention of giants in the Bible? And it's a bit of a trick question because it depends on the version you have. But if you have the King James Version, you'll see in Genesis chapter 6 is the first mention of giants. But if you have a modern version, it probably doesn't mention giants because it probably uses the word that is in our reading this morning from Numbers 13. It talks about Nephilim. And that passage, Genesis chapter 6, if we start at the beginning of the chapter, says, "When men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives as any they chose. And the Lord said, 'My spirit shall not abide with man forever, for he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. And the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards. And the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, and they were mighty men. They were men who were of old, men of renown.'" And that's the first mention. That word, verse 4, Nephilim, is translated giants in the King James. But if you look it up in the Concordance, you'll find it has nothing to do with giants. The meaning of the word is fallen ones, and that's all it means. And the word only occurs here and in Numbers 13, which we read. And the only reason it's associated with giants is because the faithless spies thought that the giants were like the Nephilim. But there is no connection to giants and Nephilim. And so the Nephilim, in fact, would have been destroyed by the flood, and there wouldn't have been any Nephilim left in the days of the spies. But the Bible does talk about giants in the land. And in fact, the first passage that you encounter them, they're not even referred to as giants. And you'll have to just trust me. We'll go to Genesis chapter 14, and we encounter them for the first time, but we don't even know that they're giants at this point. We only find out about it later. So if we go to Genesis 14 and verse 5, we read, "In the 14th year of Chedorlaomer, the king and the kings who were with him came, and they defeated the Rephaim and Ashtoreth Kirnaim, and the Zuzim and Ham, and the Emim and Shava Kiriathaim, and the Horites in the hill country of Seir as far as El Paran on the border of the wilderness." And that's our first mention of them. And we only know about it later because in later chapters it talks about the Rephaim and the Zuzim and the Enim as being giants. And our first reference here is Chedorlaomer, king of from over in Babylon, comes and defeats them, defeats these tribes of giants. And so that's our first application or first mention of them. And it's really a, how should I put it? It's not a highlight of giants. We only find out if we go, the next mention of them is in Numbers 13, which we'll look at in a little more detail, but we won't turn to that now. We'll turn to Deuteronomy 2, chapters 2 and 3, because really all I shouldn't say all we know, but most of what we know about the occupation of the land by giants is in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and 3. And the first passage is in Deuteronomy 2 and verse 8, where if we start reading, we read verse 8. So we went on away from our brothers, from the people of Esau who lived in Seir. And this is Moses in recounting the journeys through the wilderness. And he says, away from the Arabah towards the road of Elath and Ezra and Geber. And we turned and went in the direction of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab or contend with them in battle, for I will give you any of their land. I will not give you any of their land for possession, because I have given it to Ar, to the children of Lot, for a possession. The Enim, who we just read about, formerly lived there, a people great and many and as tall as the Anakim, as the Anakims, they are counted as Rephaim, but the Moabites called them Enim. And the Horites lived in Seir formerly, but the people of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them and settled in their place, as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave to them. Now rise up and go over. So we learn that Moab was given a possession, just like the children of Israel were told, you're going to have the land of Canaan, and that's going to be your possession of your inheritance, that Moab was given a possession by God. And the possession that they were given was the land of Ar, and that land was filled with a people called the Enims, and the Enims are part of the Rephaim, which were giants. They were great and mighty and tall in stature. But the Moabites went in and defeated the Enims, these giants, and took their possession. And so we see the basic structure is God gave them a possession. That possession had giants in it. They went in, defeated the giants, and they took their possession. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 18. Today you are to cross the border of Moab to Ar, at Ar, and when you approach the territory of the people of Ammon, do not harass them or contend with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the sons of Lot for a possession. It is counted as a land of Rephaim. The Rephaim formerly lived there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumin, a people great and many and tall as the Anakim, but the Lord destroyed them before the Ammonites, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place, as he did for the people of Esau, who lived in Seir, whom he destroyed, and the Horites before them dispossessed and settled in their place even to this day. And as for the Avim, who lived in the villages of as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorim, who came from Kaphtor, destroyed them and settled in their place. And so again, very similar to the children of Moab, God tells the children of Israel that Ammon was also given a possession by God. That possession was occupied by the Zamzumin, who were also part of the Rephaim, part of the giants. And Ammon defeated the Rephaim and took their possession. It doesn't go into a whole lot of more detail, but it says, similarly, the Avims who were in Gaza were dispossessed and destroyed by the Kaphtorim. The Kaphtorim, if we won't go into it, but you can look that up and follow it, and that's the Philistines. That was the name for the Philistines. So the Philistines had a possession because they went in and destroyed a people of giants. You're getting a pattern here. There was a land of Palestine that was filled with giants. And before the children of Israel moved there, the Moabites went in, destroyed giants, took a possession. The Ammonites went in, destroyed giants, took a possession. The Philistines went in, destroyed giants, and took a possession. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, for only, and this is talking about the defeat of Og, king of Bashan, and it says, for only Og, king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. Behold, his bed was as a bed of iron, and is it not in Rabbah of the Ammonites, 9 cubits in length and 4 cubits according to the common cubit? And so not only that, but the Amorites who were in on the east side of the Jordan, they went in and took a possession by destroying the Rephaim, only which Og, their king, was the one that was left. And so we have a pattern of a land that many people had come in before, destroyed the people of the giants, and taken a possession. So which brings us to Numbers chapter 13, which is the chapter we're looking at this, or we had read this morning. So Numbers chapter 13, the children of Israel come. Not many years before, the land of the promised land had the Avim, a race of giants in it, the Rephaim, a race of giants in it, the Zuzim, a race of giants in it, the Emim, which was a race of giants in it, and the sons of Anak. By the time the children of Israel get there, only the sons of Anak are left in the land. Every other nation that had come to the land had destroyed the giants to take in their possession. And yet, when the children of Israel come to the land, they are met with the same race of giants, and they do not have the ability to cast them out. They do not have the faith to cast them out. And if we look at it, Numbers chapter 13, verse 21, says, they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, near Lebo Hamath. And they went up into the Negeb and came to Hebron. And Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. And Hebron was built on 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. They actually name the giants that were there, and there's only three given. I mean, they may have had families, but this was not a land filled with giants. This was a city that had giants in it. And so as we look into this more closely, we find more and more the highlights the lack of faith of the children of Israel. That they, even though the rest of the nations around them, who did not have their, were not the chosen people of God, and yet God had given them a possession in the land, were able to go in and defeat the giants. And yet, the children of Israel, when they went up against them, were not able to. At least not at this point. We won't look into it, but we know later Joshua, when they do come into the land, finally, 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb go up and destroy those giants without any problem or without any issue. We know that the Philistines, similar to when the Amorites defeated the Rephaim, they made Og their king because he was such a big and fearsome man. The Philistines left a few giants in their cities as well. In fact, we know of one story of one in particular, of Goliath of Gath, who was of the sons of the descendants of the giants, that was left in the land of the Philistines. And we won't read through that story. Every Sunday school student here should know that story of how David had the faith. He went up and against the giant without fear and easily destroyed him. And the remainder, there were a few remaining ones in the land. If we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 20, essentially gives us the end of the giants. First Chronicles chapter 20 and in verse 4. And after these, after this, there arose war with the Philistines in Gezer, and Sibekai, the Hushaiite, struck down Sipai, who was of the descendants of the giants, and the Philistines were subdued. There was again war with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, struck down Lami, the brother of Goliath the Gittite, whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was again war with Gath, and there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he was also a descendant of the giants. And when he taunted Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimei, David's brother, struck him down. These were the descendants of the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and the hand of his servants. And that is the last we hear of them throughout the scriptures. And when we look at it in summary, we see there's a great fear that comes about all who encounter them. You think of the army of Saul quaking in their boots. You think of the spies who are fearful to enter the land. And yet, in the end, they all went without too much of a fight. I mean, the fight with Goliath ended rather quickly, as we all know. In fact, if we go through the scriptures, there's not recorded a single battle that is won by the giants. Not a single giant warrior who's recorded slaying a single man. Their weapon was fear and terror. But in the end, God was stronger than the giants. And their fear and terror was overcome by the faith of those who encountered them. So that's where we want to bring the spiritual lesson to our lives. When we realize that the tactic of the giant is fear and intimidation, which causes us to lose our faith and prevents us from doing what God desires us to do, the giants win. But if we overcome the fear and the intimidation of the giants with the faith that we have in God, then we, with God's help, can overcome and succeed in whatever he wants us to do. Just a personal example in my life of a giant that I face and try to overcome. When it comes to friends and coworkers or acquaintances that come up to me and give me an opportunity to speak about my faith, a lot of times I'll shrink away from that opportunity. I won't say the thing that in my mind I think I should be saying because I'm afraid of what they'll think or what they'll say or how they'll treat me if I say something about the God I worship or the way of life that I want to show in my life. It's that fear of what someone thinks of me or what they'll say or if they'll mock me, that changes my behavior. And yet, in the reality is, whenever I do say something, and I overcome that fear, and I let my light shine, it's almost always a very positive experience. That fear is never met. It's never becomes a reality. That fear is just in my mind. And so we need to realize that if we can overcome that fear with the faith in God, He can help us. Now, a lot of times there are problems in our lives that are real, that they will overcome us. They will hurt us. There is sickness. There is illness. There is tragedy in our lives. And we don't think we can overcome it. And the reality is we can't overcome it unless we have God on our side. But like David against Goliath, we can in our lives, overcome those giants, those things in our lives that seem overwhelming, those things that seem like we can never overcome them. But the lesson of the giants in the land is, with God on our side, we can overcome. And then we go and think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did he have giants in his life? He certainly did. I mean, if I was the Lord and Savior and the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to me and challenged me the way they challenged him, I might have, in fear, sort of hidden away, sort of not confronted them. And yet, he had no fear of them. They were able to put out of the synagogue, and many people didn't believe because of that fear of what they would do. And yet, he confronted them head on. And yet, the biggest giant in his life, we read about in Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, and starting at verse 32. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, you are asleep. Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy. They did not know what to answer him. And he came a third time and said to them, "You are still sleeping and taking your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Arise and let us be going." He walked right into the giant, knowing that he would fight that battle and he would overcome. With faith, we can take on our giants head on. We don't need to be afraid of them. Fear is their main weapon. And if we take that away, they become weak and we become strong. And so we need to identify those giants in our lives, take them on, and with God's strength and God's grace, we can overcome them. And we can look out at each other in this room and help them fight their giants, that we might together overcome and achieve the inheritance that God has promised us.